There are many religious people today that say that I play a very small part in the plan of salvation. In fact, it's only a decision that I make for Christ. And if I read just one verse, if I would pull just one verse out of the Bible, John 3:16 could make me believe that. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Many people in the religious world today say, I have one thing that I need to do. I need to believe on Christ. I believe that he is the Son of God. Is that my part? You will hear people say, all you need to do is make a decision for Christ. Take 5 minutes of your time and make a decision for Christ, and you will be saved. You will make heaven your home in the end. Is that what the Bible teaches, that that is my part? So I'd like for us to look at that for a little bit this evening, because I think it's good in the day and time we're living in, as the world crowds around us and we see people that say, I'm a Christian, and they will have to tell you, because you cannot tell it by their life. And then they will say, no, there's really no difference in the way I live, but I accepted Christ. And so for myself, I'd like to be able to know, what does the Bible have to say about it? Salvation. What is my part? And what is the Lord's part? There's a song that we started singing when I was a small child, maybe even in Sunday school. Here's my part. I have decided to follow Jesus. That decision is important. What the world says, we can't just discount it and say, okay, because it doesn't make a difference in their life, then that must not be my part. No, that is my part. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. It says in there, though none go with me, still I will follow. No turning back. So that is my part. I've got to make a decision. And it sounds just like what the religious world says. Make a decision for Christ. That is important. That is necessary. I'd like to go to a verse in Matthew in the 28th chapter. We'll start there. 28 and 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. So if all power is given to Jesus in heaven and earth, why isn't the whole world saved tonight? I was thinking about that because there is a lot of power in the part that I have to play. There are a couple verses, maybe I'll give them to you, and if y'all look some of them up. If someone would get Revelations 3 and 20. If someone would get Revelations 22 and 17. Someone have Revelations 3 and 20. So Jesus said, all power is given to me in heaven and on earth, but yet my part can restrict him from doing what he would like for his part to be. Someone has Revelations 3:20. Go ahead.
Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me.
That's an interesting verse coming from Jesus that said, all power is given me in heaven and in earth. And I find that I have a choice. He will stand at my heart's door and knock. But he said, if any man will hear my voice and then open the door, that's my part. He's going to do his part. He has done it in the past when he called after me. He'll do his part of calling, but I've got to do my part of hearing and opening the door to my heart. Yeah. And I like to think about that. Well, that was one time in my life when I did it for the Lord. But you know, really, I need to do that every day. I can get real busy with just things that I need to take care of. And there can be a knock at my heart's door. Turn your attention toward me or maybe even a scripture that the Lord would like to have me to think about. You know what? I'm going to have to open the door of my heart and allow him to come in. It says, if I'll do it, he'll come in and he'll sup with me, and I'll be able to sup with him. But he stands at the door and he knocks. So this is part of my part. Okay, who has Revelations 22 and 17?
And the Spirit and the bride say, come, and let her say, come. Let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely.
Okay, so here the Spirit and the bride are saying, come. So they're doing their part. They're calling. Let him that is athirst. All of these different places in life, it's calling to them, come. Whosoever will, let him come. But I thought about, I'm still dealing with my part. And we found from the beginning of the Bible what my part covers. I've got a choice that I've got to make. The call comes. Jesus has the power, no matter where a person is in life, how far they've gone down, to be able to save them and bring them back up again. But they've got to open the door. From Adam and Eve all down through the scripture, we will find that there was a choice made. It's over in my part. It's my part to make the choice. Okay, I got a couple scriptures. Joshua 24 and 15. If someone will get it. And then Deuteronomy 30 and 15. Joshua 24 and 15, whoever gets it. Okay, so Joshua talking to all the children of Israel. If it seem evil to you to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve. A decision that Joshua was not able to make for other people. He's just giving them, he's laying out the option before them. You can make a choice today. But then he did come on down, because here's my part. Ask for me and my house. As for me and those things that I'm responsible for, we're going to serve the Lord. I like that about Joshua. If everyone else would have said, hey, we're going back to idol worship, Joshua had made up his mind. I wish Aaron would have done that. When Moses was up on the mountain getting the Ten Commandments, Aaron was left to be responsible for the people. And after so many days of Moses being gone, they said, we need a God. Make us a God. I wish Aaron would have been as strong as Joshua was strong. Everybody else can decide if you want to, but as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. If Aaron would have said, I'll die first, I'm not going back to idol worship. I'm here to lead you away from that. We were just a few days ago at Mount Sinai, where God came down in thundering and smoke, and the mountain was trembling, and we saw God's presence there, felt his presence there. And 30, 40 days later, we're doing this? No way. That would have been so much better if Aaron would have taken a stand like Joshua. You know, for us today, when the pressure's all around us of the world saying, you cannot live free from sin. You know what? That pressure wants to crowd us to where we conform to it. But instead, I'd like to be like Joshua. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. My part in this, I'm going to do it right. I wish Aaron would have done it. You know, and I look at the people that lost their lives because Aaron did not do it. When the wrath of the Lord came down and several thousand people died, lost their lives because of it. Maybe that could have been changed if one person would have taken a stand. I think it's important for us in our families, on our job, in our communities, that we would be able to say, as for me and my house, here's my part. Won't be able to decide what our nation does, our nation may be able to go a different direction. But as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Okay, so it's a choice. This next scripture is also about choice. Deuteronomy 30 and 15. Does someone have that one? Okay, this is God talking. I've set before you this day life and good and death and evil. Now there's a choice, and I've got to make the choice. Here's my part. God has laid it out before me. Now if you'll go ahead and read in 19th, if you read the 19th verse of that same chapter. Okay, so this verse again is saying almost the same as the 15th. I've set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. You get to make the choice. It's part of my part. But he puts in there, why don't you choose life? Because then you and your children would be able to live. A choice that we're having to make. This is over in my part. Now I was thinking in what all else, if you read the scripture, there are other things that are my part to do. Guidelines for me in my life, in decisions that I make. And since I do have choices that I make, can you think of verses that would tell me, okay, this one's saying choose life so that you and your seed may live. Can you think of verses of a guideline that would tell us this is over in your part? I'm giving you some direction for it. I'm thinking of the verse in, and it's not a real popular verse today, in John 2 and 15 through 17. It tells me, this is over in my part, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, it's not of the Father. And those things, they're going to pass away. So I start seeing this is something more than just all I need to do is believe. I believe on Christ. I made a decision for Christ years ago and I'm going to make heaven no matter how I live. No, now I start seeing over in my part, there's some things to do. Part of that is don't love the world. Keep a distance from yourself and the world. Because any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. This is part of the choices that I'm able to make in my life. Can you think of another verse that gives me direction for how I'm to live? Things I need to do or not do, that'll be guidelines for over in my part. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. And then what's the rest of that verse? Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God. Both of those are my part. So, they're both tied together in the same verse. So as soon as I do the one, if I move over and do the other, resist the devil, he'll flee from you. But don't let him just be gone and I'm empty. Draw nigh to God. And he will draw nigh to you. That's a good verse. We're dealing with what is my part. And then in a little bit we'll take a look at what is God's part.
Colossians 3.
Okay, Colossians the third chapter.
Tells us to put some things to death.
Okay.
Colossians 3 and 5. Mortify your members which are upon the earth. Fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection. Evil, concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry.
Okay.
Verse 8, now ye also put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blaspheming, filthy communication out of your mouth. Why not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man?
Okay, so those verses are telling us there's some things that I need to mortify. You know, now this is going farther than just John 3:16. All I got to do is believe and my part is taken care of. I start seeing some things that I've got to mortify. I've got to get rid of.
And verse 12 tells us about things to put on.
Okay, go ahead.
Replace those things. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, vows of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, forgiving one another. Verse 14, above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness.
So I'm kind of surprised as I meet up with people today that say, I'm a Christian. And I find that that is so shallow. And you know, if I'm not careful, I can settle for something less than what the Bible instructs me to have over in my part. This verses tell me, you know what, as a Christian, there's things that I need to put on and put off. And that's not just, okay, on the day I got saved, there's things that I put off and put on. You know what, as the Lord comes along to me at any time in my life and says, this will be a hindrance to you. I remember old time preachers used to preach about things. And they would just come right on down to where you live. They would warn us about books you read. Now, whose business is it what books I read? Is that over in my part anyhow? And then I start reading the verses that tell me about bringing into captivity your thoughts. You know what? The book you read is going to be a part of your thought process. I find it when I read. Sometimes I just like to sit down and read a book. Just somebody's life story. Just reading the book. Well, you know what? I'll think about that. That'll come into my mind and I'll think about it for a long time. Well, what they were warning about is you're going to introduce some things into your thought process. It happens when I'm going down the road and I see a billboard. A thought is presented. Well, I did not choose that thought to be presented. And the Lord has power to help me to be able to cast it back out again. The ones that he wants me to be real careful about, for my part, is don't be the one responsible for putting it in, for taking in something. And that's why, you know, the old ministers would tell us, be real careful about the songs you listen to. And young people, oh, what does that matter? I like the beat. I like the sound of it. I know the country music. If I listened to the words, I'd be lost if I lived that way. But it probably doesn't matter. But it did matter. Because this is over in my part of keeping this vessel clean. Living in a place to where when he knocks at my door, I'm ready to open and let him come in and visit with me.
Dan, the part about the music is covered by the scripture that says, love not the world.
That covers a lot of things.
Neither the things in the world. That it is the spirit of the world that inspires those things. So if that's what we love.
Yeah.
Scripture says, love the Father's not
in. So some of this is maybe when I'm dealing with my part, is inventory. To just check and see. Because when I rub shoulders with the world, after a while I can feel like, you know, I am. Sister Maxine mentioned this morning about the danger of measuring myself by others around me. It's real easy for me to feel pretty good about where I stand before the Lord when I get out in the religious world, when that's not really the measurement. They won't be there on the day that I breathe my last and go out and stand before the Lord. I want him to be able to show me. So the scriptures that almost seem like they're out of date, like love not the world, neither the things that are in the world, it'd be good for me on a continual basis. Take an inventory. Have I started getting some kind of a desire? And it doesn't have to be music. It doesn't have to be the books. It can be just me getting too involved in temporal affairs of this life. Getting to the place where it's almost like I'm going to be here forever. So I'm building myself a good, you know, the retirement. It's over in my part. And the scripture tells me to go to the ant. He puts up some for later. But you know what? The devil would love to push me over to the point to where I don't want to go to heaven right now. I've just built this thing all up where I can live real comfortable for the next few years. Now, maybe when I use that all up, maybe I'll be ready to go. No, you know what? I ought to be living my life to where at any time the Lord calls for me, this is what's important. The verse says, if you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. We see the verses, this is over in my part, that tells me where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Those are little indicators for me to check myself. Yes, I put back some money for retirement. But is it important? I'll tell you how. What would tell me is it, if it's really how important it is if tomorrow the stock market crash and they say you don't have anything in there now. There's people that take their life when their heart has been too much over on this side. I'd like to be able to, Job took care of his part. To where the point came when trouble came to him, he could say the Lord gave, the Lord took it away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Now you want to talk about some peace. Well, was it just the feeling of peace or the confidence in God that he allows to come into my life things that make a change? Does someone else have another verse? What's over in my part? There's a verse in 1 John, the 3rd chapter. 3rd chapter and the 3rd verse. Because you know what? There are a lot of people, and I'm one of them, wants to go to heaven. Got a plan to go to heaven. And this chapter starts off with, look at the 2nd verse. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we should be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Okay, that's good. I'm looking forward to heaven. Anything in my part that I need to be able to do? Look at this next verse. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself even as he is pure. So I look at this, purifieth himself. That goes back to the verses that Doug read about putting on, putting off, mortifying some things. I'm looking forward to going to heaven, but there's some purifying that I need to do. Does anyone have another verse that's over in my part category?
Matthew 11 and 12.
Okay.
From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. So it sounds to me that there's some real effort required on our part.
On my part, the violent take it by force. And you know what that violent is going to be? It's not so much toward others, but it's me getting a hold to myself and saying, this is the direction we're going to go. You ever tried to do that? It says bringing into captivity every thought. You know, thoughts can take you in all different kind of directions. It's thoughts that cause me to look crossways at someone else, what they have done. They can do something, and then I can let it start going over and over in my mind. And in a little bit, I'll be able to tell you why they did it. And even what they were thinking when they did it. It just keeps a process going in my mind. Bringing into captivity every thought, that's over in my part. Okay, is there another? Okay, that's our part.
Christ hath crucified the flesh with affections and lusts.
They that are Christ have crucified. They have done it. That's over in my part. That's a good verse. Anyone have another one before we go to God's part?
Isaiah 1:16.
Okay.
Wash you, make you clean, put away the evil of your doings from before my eyes. Cease to be evil.
Put away. That's my part. I was thinking with that verse as you were reading that, there's a verse that says, but he that confesseth, he that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but he that confesseth and forsaketh shall have mercy. You know what that's over in my part? The confessing and the forsaking. There are many in the religious world today that will confess. And many probably are saved from that. But you know what? If I don't forsake, I'm right back off in it again. I think that's the danger of the days that we're living in, when people say you cannot live free from sin, and yet I tell the Lord that I'm sorry for what I've done, but to not be able to reach to another level over here in my part, that he has the power for me to live free from sin. Okay, does anyone have another one that is my part? Okay, I would like to look, and if you come up with another verse you'd like to share on that part, because there's something that happens in my life. I can become so focused on what my part is, what I should be doing, the things that I should or should not be doing, and me getting the strength to be able to do them, to be able to make the changes in my life. But you know what? If I'm not careful, it's something that I'm the one doing. When really, my part is coupled up with God's part. And I'd like to talk to you for a little bit about his part and have you look at some verses with it. His part is, after saving my soul, is supplying me with grace if I will tap into it. I've always heard before that the definition of grace is the unmerited favor of God. Now that's probably true, but what do I merit anyhow? I don't really deserve another breath from him. It's his mercy that allows me to have anything. So it's true, I don't deserve the grace. But here's another definition. It's divine influence. It's divine power available to me from God. And I like to look at this. We're looking at, here's my part. I do have a part to play. But here God comes in and says, I've got something for you though, that will help you with your part. And that is divine influence, divine power. Divine power from the one that was able to speak and the world came into existence. He was able to breathe into man, into dust, and a man came into existence. Divine power. And now this power is available to help me to be able to do my part. It won't do it by itself. I have a choice to make. He stands at the door and knocks. But if I will open the door, he'll come in. And whatever problem I have, he has grace for that. Divine power to give to me to help me with my part. And I've found times in the past to where I feel like it's me. I've got to do my part. No, I've got to be willing to follow the Lord for my part and then ask him for the grace needed to be able to perform it. Can anyone tell me where the first place in the Bible is that we find anything about grace? Don't find it with Adam and Eve. First place that I saw was Noah. The world was wicked. all around him. But Genesis 6 and 8 said, "But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord." The ability to tap into a source. And you know, he needed some extra help. It's not quite enough for just a man for you to tell him, okay, for the next 100 years, here's the size of the boat, now go do it. But he needed to tap into a source. He had to be willing to do it. It wouldn't have worked if he had said, "I'm not going to do it." But he's willing. And Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. The Lord was pleased with his life. I'd like to look at a verse in John 1 and 17. So as we switch over to God's part, if you think of a verse about grace, I'd like for you to share it with us. John in the first chapter and in the 17th verse. "The law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ." Grace, divine power that Jesus wants to give me in this day and time to be able to live for him. Okay, does anyone have, we sang that song, "The grace of God that brings salvation and teaches righteousness appeareth unto every nation." The righteous, or let's see, number 45. "Their darkened souls appeareth unto every nation, their darkened souls to bless. Wondrous grace, pure gift from heaven, grace to set the captives free. Grace of God so kindly given by the Savior unto me." I've got a part that I need to play. And he realizes, you know what? I won't be able to do it on my own. So he says, "I've got grace for you." Does anyone have a verse about grace that you'd like to share?
Ephesians 2 and 8.
Okay, that's a good one. Okay, go ahead.
"For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourself, but as a gift of God."
Yes, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Now, what's the works? That's over on my part. So this is helping me to see the value of grace. "By grace are ye saved through faith, that not of yourselves." You know, because so easy I'm over on my part and I know the things that I need to do and not do. And I can almost get the feeling like I can do it now. But no, it's grace. It's his power helping me to do it. It's how I'm going to be saved. It's not of yourselves. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. It's going to be his grace, his divine power that saves me. I was looking in, if you look at the letters that Paul wrote, several of the books in the New Testament, at the very beginning of his message to them, and when he would close out the end of that book, he would be talking about things like, "The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you." So it's almost like he would start the book and he would end the book. Well, I've got a lot of instructions in between here for you, but the grace of God is going to be very important for you. "The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you." Okay, does anyone have another?
Number 7, Ephesians.
Okay.
"But to everyone of us is given grace according to the measures of the gift of Christ."
Okay, and what verse is that?
That is Ephesians 4.
Okay.
And 7.
Ephesians 4 and 7. "Unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ." So is there any chance he's going to run short on the grace that we need? I think he's got plenty for each of us. I need to tap into it. Okay, anyone have another verse you want to add? Okay, Titus 2 and 11. "The grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. The grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, and then is teaching us how to take care of our part. Denying ungodliness, worldly lusts, live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Okay. The Bible teaches humility. For me to be humble. And there are some verses that grace and humility is put together. I'd like to give you some of those verses. In James 4 and 6, if someone will get that. If someone will get Romans 12 and 3. If someone would get 1 Peter 5 and 5. And if someone would get 1 Corinthians 15 and 10. So if someone has James 4 and 6. Okay, James 4 and 6. But he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. This is the verse then that Sister Wright gave. Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. So these verses, we start blending our part with God's part. What he's willing to do, he giveth more grace. He resisteth the proud, but he will give grace to the humble. Mixing in the part that I need to do, submit yourselves to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. And he's offering grace for us. Okay, what about Romans 12 and 3. Does someone have that one?
For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith.
Through the grace given to me, what I want to share with you is that we not think more highly of ourselves than we ought to think. And you know, all through the scripture, it tells us how high we should think. How I find it is when I go back to where I really came from. The beginning of all of us was a little pile of dirt. And he said, from dust thou art, and back to dust you're going to return. So you take those people that were very wealthy and died many years ago. It doesn't matter if they were a millionaire. They go back to dust, just like the poor man. Their body has gone back to dust. I say through the grace given to me that nobody think more highly of themselves than you ought to think, but to think soberly. Okay, does someone have 1 Peter 5 and 5? There's several scriptures that talk about pride and grace in the same scripture.
Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble.
So the avenue of grace, he giveth grace to the humble. Be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Then the sixth verse, humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. There is a song in our book, number 184. I'd like to look at it. Because, you know, sometimes I can look at my part and I have a decision. I'm going to do my part. But, you know, I think it would be real important for me to do what this song says. Yes, I plan to do my part, but it's going to be by the grace of God that I'm going to be able to do it. I'd like for us to sing this song together. Number 184. By the grace of God I am saved today. I will walk by faith in the narrow way. I will trust his grace to preserve my soul. I will rest secure while the billows roll. By the grace of God I will live for him. I will trust his power to keep from sin. I will never doubt, but resist the foe. I will grow in grace as I onward go. By the grace of God, I will never yield to the tempter's power, but with sword and shield, I'll defeat the foe with an ardor strong. In the name of Christ, sing the victor's song. By the grace of God, I will live for him. I will trust his power to keep from sin. I will never doubt, but resist the foe. I will grow in grace as I onward go. By the grace of God, I will testify. I will watch and pray as the moments fly. I will live for him in despite of all. I will hear and heed the Redeemer's call. By the grace of God, I will live for him. I will trust his power to keep from sin. I will never doubt, but resist the foe. I will grow in grace as I onward go. By the grace of God, I will never fear what can harm my soul when the Lord is near. If I keep low down in humility, if I walk by faith, he'll abide with me. By the grace I will live for him. I will trust his power to keep from sin. I will never doubt, but resist the foe. I will grow in grace as I onward go. By the grace of God, I will keep my eyes on the Lord alone, and the promised Christ I will bear. All things in his precious name I will trust, his grace and his promise claim. By the grace of God I will live for him. I will trust his power to keep from sin. I will never doubt, but resist the foe. I will grow in grace as I onward go. So as I look at this song and I start thinking about my part and his part, they couple together. Yes, all these things are my part, but it says by God's grace, I'm going to be able to do it. If he will pour in the grace for me, I'll be able to do it. So now the verse where we talk about, I stand at the door and knock. If any man open the door, the very first thing is my part, to open the door. But once I have opened it, accepting, Lord, I need your help in my life, he's able to come in, and he says he'll sup with us and us with him. He's able to pour in the grace that we need to be able to have. I was thinking of another verse about grace. It was when Paul had a problem and he wanted to be delivered from that problem, a thorn in the flesh. So he does what I would do, starts praying. I want this to be removed from my life. It says, I sought the Lord 3 times that it would be removed. And here's the answer that came back to him. My grace is sufficient for thee. You know, when I look at the funeral that they just had for Sister Sarita, and they were saying in that her illness started in 2005. That was a long time ago, 12 years ago. I can remember when she first came down sick, and he at Monarch, Brother Paul, was preaching about how he was having to deal with her sickness and knowing that it could take her life. 12 years, and God had grace sufficient for her to be faithful through that amount of time. Not taking away the sickness, but allowing her, giving her this grace, she tapped into something more than just her part. She opened the door and let the Lord come in and sup with her and give her the grace that was needed for her life. So I think about us. We don't know what's going to happen to us between now and the time we leave. But grace was sufficient for Paul. Paul could have said, okay, I tell you what, I'm through. I see all these places where you'll do things for people and you telling me I can't have it. But instead, he said, most gladly will I endure these tribulations. These things that have come to me now that I know that that's the Lord's will for my life. And I think I saw that with Sister Sarita, just accepting. You know, when Jesus' mother, Mary, when the angel came to her and told her, you know, she could have thought, I am going to be the greatest woman that ever lived. She realized that the way this thing is going to go, I am going to have no reputation left. But I tell you what, here's how she told it to the Lord. Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me, even as thou wilt. I saw that same thing with Sister Sarita. Just allow the Lord to work as he wanted to in her life. He had grace that was sufficient for her. There is a verse that tells us, it's in Hebrews 4 and 16. I'd like to look at that before we quit. Because I don't know if he wants to give me grace. No, he told Paul, I've got grace sufficient for you. This one in Hebrews 4 and 16. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace. You know what? That's my part, is to realize the Lord wants to give me the grace for every problem that can come in my life. My part is come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help. Grace, divine power that moves past my part and me doing it in myself, but the power coming from God to help me to be able to do whatever I need to be able to do. It goes on down in the 28th verse of the 12th chapter of Hebrews. Wherefore we, receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace, whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire. Let us have grace that we'll be able to serve him. Does anyone have another verse before we close? Because as I looked at this and I saw the verses, my part and God's part starts merging together. He never intended for me to do it all on my own. In fact, he said, it's not of works lest any man should boast. It's not intended that I would be able to come back to you and say, I tell you what, I decided I was going to make this change in my life and I did it. I was able to do it on my own. No, it said, it's not of works lest any should boast, but it's his grace, his power for us to be able to do it. Does anyone have another verse you want to share?
Talk about the woman that pressed through the crowd to touch the hem of Jesus'
yes.
garment. She made her effort, but it was the virtue that flowed from Jesus that was his part.
So there was a part that she put forth, but then there was a part that coupled in with hers to give her what she needed. Any other verse? Maybe we could close with one other song, number 510. Because you know what? It'll be amazing grace that'll be able to carry me through this life with all the, where it said, resist the devil and he'll flee from you. It says also, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Resist him steadfast. This grace is what will enable us to be able to do that. I appreciate that.